God and Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would help each one of us hear what you have to say to us today. Give us grace and give us courage to do what you call us to. In Jesus' name, amen. If you sit down at a computer and you find that the last person to use the computer has not logged off properly, but they've left open, you know, Outlook or their email client, whatever it is that they use, and what do you do in that situation? There is in front of you is a whole bunch of personal emails and letters. And are you just a little bit tempted to have a bit of a peek and to see what they've been writing or who's been writing to them? It's a temptation that some people cannot refuse. As we read 3 John, that is what we are doing. This is a very personal piece of communication that we have in front of us. In verse 1, you can see that is written by the elder, and it is addressed to my dear friend Gaius. You notice that friend, dear friend phrase occurs 3 more times, verse 2, verse 5, and verse 11. So this is a very personal letter that we are reading today. We are privy to it by the grace of God. He has made sure that this letter has been preserved and it has been included in our scriptures because it's got something important to say. It might be one of the shortest books in the Bible. It's got one of the biggest punches, I think. This is a favourite book of theological students. It is because when they get to exam times, they like to address verse 13 to their examiners. They write on the back of the paper, "I have much more to write to you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink." What happens, of course, is the theological examiners get that and they write on the back of it, verse 14, "I hope to see you soon and we will talk face to face." The letter of 3 John has something very important for us to say because it's a letter about partnership in the gospel. It centres around three men, Gaius, Diotrephes and Demetrius. Each of these three guys have got something important to show us about living as a Christian, about Christian partnership, and about Christian hospitality. Three men about whom the elder has three important things to say. Before we read the letter, though, we ought to remind ourselves who it is that is writing. He simply calls himself the elder. His dear friend already knows that this is John the Apostle. He kind of needs no further introduction. But it's good for us to remember that when this letter is written, late in the first century, John is the last remaining apostle. All the rest have been martyred for their testimony to Jesus. John, last man standing. He is the authoritative witness. In those days, if you want to know who Jesus was, what he was on about, what he was like, John was the man to talk to. John the elder, the one who lay at Jesus' breast at the Last Supper, the one who was called beloved of Jesus, Jesus' best mate, if you could put it that way. This is the guy writing the letter that we're reading. John is writing to his dear friend Gaius now, a beloved and faithful friend. Gaius is the first of the three that we meet in the letter. In addition to being much loved, he's called faithful. He's a faithful friend for two reasons. The first one is that he continues to walk in the true message about Jesus. Have a look in verse 3. "It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." So Gaius is faithfully walking in the truth. He's sticking with the gospel. He's not drifting off. He's not going cold. He is staying firmly with Jesus. Walking on, he is steady, he is true. And let me tell you, in life, they're the kind of friends that you need. In life, they are the kind of friends that you want to look for. As you go through life, you want faithful friends, friends who will walk in the truth and who will continue on in it. As you meet people, as you go through life, sometimes you have a choice about whom your friends will be. If you do have a choice, make friends with people who will faithfully follow Jesus. Gaius is one of these kind of people. He is a faithful friend. He is also a faithful friend because he is working together with others for the gospel. Have a look at verse 5. "Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers. even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such men, so that we may work together for the truth. So Gaius is a faithful friend because he's walking in the truth, but also because he is working together with others for the gospel. He has taken some Christian brothers into his house, even though they're complete strangers to him. This is hospitality, but it's more than just being friendly. It's more than inviting the neighbours around for a drink on Saturday afternoon. It's more than making a meal for the family across the road and sending it over at dinner time. In the late first century, this meant when Gaius invited them into the house, they stayed as long as they wanted to. To open your home to the brothers meant that you not only fed them, that you provided them with lodgings, you partnered them in whatever it was that they were doing. This is a letter that's all about hospitality, but it's not the way that we think about the word. Okay, hospitality means partnership. Okay, hospitality means partnership. You see, these brothers who've come to the house are Christian missionaries. They are men who are really wanting to spread the great news about Jesus. You notice there that they have gone out for the sake of the name, that is, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've arrived in Gaius' town, complete strangers, and he has taken them in. And he's providing them with hospitality. Gaius' commitment didn't stop when the brothers decided it was time to leave either. I mean, they could stay as long as they like. It was a little bit like, you know, being in London and having Australians arrive in your flat. You know, they're going to stay for some time. Verse 6, send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. Supply their travelling costs and their needs for the next part of the journey. This is partnership. It's not niceness or neighbourliness. It's partnership. The key to understanding this whole book of 3 John and how it's going to apply to us today actually occurs in verse 8. Have a look at it there. It begins, we ought therefore to show hospitality to such men. A more literal way of understanding this, translation would say, therefore, that is because Christian workers are dependent upon Christians for their support, therefore we have an obligation. A duty is laid upon us to show hospitality to such people so that in this way we may work together in partnership for the truth. To really get this letter, you've got to feel the force of that command there. We have an obligation to support Christian gospel workers, and in this way we actually become partners in their work. We share in their ministry in this way. Somewhere on the remote border of Tanzania and Rwanda, there is a man named John Parlow. John stands about this tall, and I can testify to you that he knows the meaning of this verse. When Kate and I first lived in Tanzania 16 or so years ago now, I guess, John and I would meet together every week and we would spend about an hour together, and he was trying to teach me Swahili and I was trying to teach him English. And, you know, we'd go through a kind of a Bible reading together, which was pretty embarrassing for the most part. We'd then try and pray together, but I would have to pray in Swahili and he would have to pray in English. And it's kind of crazy calling God Baba Mungu, but you kind of get used to that after a while. But John became somewhat of a friend of mine, and I got to, I think one of the most exciting things I got to do was to drive him places. He was a brilliant evangelist, and some people in the UK had actually given a four-wheel drive to him. Not only could he reach the pedals, but he couldn't drive. And so the best thing I got to do was to drive him to kind of marketplaces or whatever. He would kind of flip out the back of the truck, stand up there and just start preaching. Amazing guy. The rain would come down, as it did often, and then so we'd get back in the car, wait till the rain stopped, and whoop, out would go again, and off he'd go. So John and I had a little bit of time together, which I really valued. When it was time for Kate and I to leave, he came to me and he insisted that we come to his place for lunch. He insisted, you must come to my place for lunch. And we, I think it was a Sunday lunch, we got to his little mud hut with a dirt floor and a thatched roof and many children. And he presented before us goat to eat. This is an amazing luxury, the best food you could get. he presented to us this goat. I reckon it would have been at least a month's wages for him, maybe more. John had about 10 kids. I can still see them kind of peering through the slats in the wall to see these people eat the goat. I think they were wondering, I hope there's going to be some left for me. John was insistent that we eat this amazing meal because he understood hospitality. He understood what it meant to partner with somebody. And to his great cost, I think, to the cost of his family's diet for that month, he insisted that we share this wonderful and generous meal. He knows what it means to be a partner in the gospel. And so we also ought to partner with people who have gone out for the sake of the name. As it says in verse 8, this is an obligation, it's not an option. Support for Christian ministries is partnership with the gospel. It is sharing the work of Jesus. It is partnering with him. You don't even have to leave home to be a missionary. How good is that? You are a partner with the gospel, or a partner in the gospel, when you provide support to men and women who have gone out from us in order to serve Christ. That's what a faithful friend does. That's the kind of guy that Gaius was. Now, by way of contrast, Diotrephes is not such a man. In fact, he's a Christian fraud because he will not partner in the gospel. And he even stops others from doing exactly that. Have a look at verses 9 and 10. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. So if I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, gossiping maliciously about us. Not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Diotrephes is a fraud because he will not partner in the gospel and he stops others from doing the same. It seems that Diotrephes is some kind of leader in the church in that town that Gaius lives. And he's not given a title, but he seems to exercise some influence in the Christian community, in the town. We don't know that he's an official church leader. But, you know, in every church there is formally recognised leadership, but there are others also who like to exercise influence, if I could put it that way. Diotrephes, I think, is one of those. It gets worse for him, though, because John says, look, he's really just someone who loves to be important. He wants to be the big man. He wants to divide loyalties. You're either in with him or you're out with him. And for some reason, Diotrephes refuses to partner with the brothers. He doesn't want to welcome the missionary brothers. He wants to throw them out of the church. And in fact, he throws out of the church anyone who wants to welcome them. Not looking good for Diotrephes. It even gets worse than that. Because he is gossiping maliciously about John, about the elder. He's not a Christian friend, he's a Christian fraud. If you find a person who likes to play favourites, to have an in-crowd and an out-crowd, someone who gossips maliciously, then be aware. They are probably not a faithful friend, they are dangerous, they may even be a fraud. Beware of such a person, and if you kind of become aware of someone like that, here's what you do. You go straight to the bathroom and you lock the door and you take a good long look in the mirror. Make sure that it is not you who has the problem playing popularity and favourites. Make sure you are loving and caring and serving without being exclusive. Make sure it isn't you who wants to be loved by all, to be thought of as a somebody. That's what Diotrephes really needed to do, isn't it? He needed to take a good long look in the mirror to make sure that he wasn't jealous of the attention that those visiting Christian missionaries had. Diotrephes, sadly, was not a Christian friend of John's, but he is exposed as a fraud. So Gaius and Diotrephes, we've met them. The third one we want to meet in this letter is Demetrius. Now, Demetrius is probably the postman. He's probably the bearer of this letter. John has written the letter, given it to Demetrius and said, here, take this to Gaius. He is a fellow worker, Demetrius, in need of support. Verses 11 and 12. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. This is really the reason for John's letter. He wants to introduce Demetrius as a fellow worker. Doing good means supporting him, welcoming him, just as he has the other brothers. But there's something to learn about Demetrius here, isn't it? John is recommending Demetrius as a man of good reputation, a man whose life is characterized by truth. And the letter is like a reference, isn't it? It's a reference letter. As you think about the situation, Demetrius arriving at Gaius's doorstep with the letter says, Demetrius, worth partnering with, a missionary of good character, well spoken of by all. His life matches up with the gospel. Great testimony to Demetrius. But for Gaius, Demetrius arriving on the doorstep means more visitors. Yes, John knows Gaius has already got a house full of Christian missionaries, and here's one more to add to his list. Yep, there's going to be more food on the table. And Gaius, this is your great joy. This is your great duty, to partner in the gospel with a man such as Demetrius. Diotrephes, he's not doing a thing. He's missing out. You, Demetrius, have Demetrius, a partner, a brother, and you can share in his work. In my role as a minister, I get to write a lot of references for people. You know, someone's going for a job, or that, you know, they need a new landlord or something like that. Some references are very easy to write, and some references are difficult to write. The easy ones are where the person's life just speaks for itself. They're great people. Their life, their words and their actions match up. Their faith and their love are clear to all. At other times, writing a reference is really difficult. It's really hard. You don't know what to say. And sometimes you end up with a reference that sounds like this one that I've found. Bob has worked here at ABC Limited for 27 years in the same role. He's made a few good friends and sometimes met expectations. He's quiet, unobtrusive, and mostly polite. We wish him very well in any future employment. The problem there, isn't there? Would you employ Bob? I don't think so. It's what is not said that's of concern. Do you know, you want to know, you want to work with, you want to partner with people of the highest character, don't you? They're the people that you want to partner with. You want to support Christian missionaries of the highest caliber and the right character. Let me introduce you to some. These are just three of people whom we partner with. They have gone out from us for the sake of the name, for the sake of the gospel. And I want to simply say, well, how do you go in your partnering of our Link missionaries or of other Link missionaries that you know of? And I want to suggest some ways that you might like to think about partnering either these folk or others that you know. First one, when was the last time you wrote a letter or an email to one of our Link missionaries? When's the last time you did that? Email is dead easy, isn't it? All you need to do is, of course, go to the church website, and you'll find that on the Link missionaries page, their email addresses are all there ready to go. Click and you're already writing. Wouldn't that be great? So when's the last time you... snail mail still gets there too, by the way. If you're not a computer person, that's not a problem. They have real letters as well. In fact, if you wanted to write to the Carters, I know that for the last month, a real letter probably would have been more successful than an email. So, number one, have you ever thought of writing a letter? Number two, have you ever thought of sending a care package? A little box with some Mars bars and a Tim Tam and a New Idea magazine or whatever it is that says, I really care about you. Just something simple. Send a care package. Pray that it gets through customs. What a great idea. Third thing, have you ever thought of doing this with a Link missionary? When they're in town and they come back from time to time, have you ever had them over for a meal and sat them down and just grilled them with questions? Tell me about what it's really like. What's God shown you? You know, you've been over here or there. what's God actually been doing in your life, and how are you growing as a Christian? Show them that you care in that way. That would make a big impact. Most missionaries are actually eager as anything to talk about what they've been doing, but they don't want to bore people. So if you pepper them with questions, they will open up in a way that is really quite remarkable. So there's another one that you might think about doing. Next time they're in town, why don't you invite them over for a meal? Fourth possible way that you might want to partner in the gospel with these people is to give money. They need to eat food and they need to live where they are, and we have an opportunity to partner with them financially. That is another way of you being their partner. And the last one is a challenge to us. If you want to really support them and show them that you love them, why don't you go and visit them? Monterrey, Mexico could be a nice place. Never been there myself, but I know that actually being visited in the field is one of the most encouraging things. The thing that says partner most of all is when some group go and visit in the field. John and Angela Crawford have just recently returned from Bunda in Tanzania. They spent some time with Helen Hoskins. So it was fantastic. Absolutely had a ball. So there's five possible ways that you might want to partner with some of our Link missionaries. I want to sum up the message of this book of 3 John. Walking in Jesus' truth means partnering Jesus' fellow workers. It's a fairly straightforward message, but it's an important one, isn't it? Key part of the book, verse 8. We have an obligation to support Christian workers, but they must be people of suitable character, suitable conviction. Above all, they must be walking in the truth. Okay, no, don't support false teachers, like the warning of 2 John had to say. See, the thing is, there is a deep joy in working together for the truth, partnering together. My best friends in life are the people that I have shared some kind of ministry with, some kind of partnership with. They're the people who are my best friends in that they're the best people, but I find in them the richest and the most faithful friends. I want to encourage you to partner in the gospel with some others, and you'll find in that a joy really beyond words. Let's pray. Now, God and Father, we lift up to you our brothers and sisters who've gone out from among us for the sake of the name, for the name of Jesus. Father, how we pray that you would enable us to partner them well, to support them in prayer, to encourage them in our communication, or to show them our love in practical ways. And Father, we pray that through their great commitment to the work of the gospel, Lord, that you would grow the kingdom of God. And Father, we thank you for the privilege of being part of that. Amen.